Your organic search is over. Here's Naturally Savvy with health experts Andrea Donsky and Lisa Davis.
Several years ago when I was working in television, I decided to get some Botox done. I did it around the crow's feet that we get around our eyes. And I have to admit, I did like it. My husband didn't, though. He thought it was a little too much. So I've gone back to my natural crinkly eyes. And I'm so glad to have on the show, or we're so glad to have Dr. Norman E. Rosenthal back. He's a world-renowned psychiatrist. And today we're going to be talking about Botox for depression. Hello, Dr. Norm.
Hello there.
It's so good to have you on. So as I mentioned, I've tried it. I like the results, but I've gone back to my natural look. What is this connection with Botox and depression?
Well, surprisingly, it seems like such an up-to-date finding, and indeed it is. But it has a long history to it, going all the way back to Charles Darwin and William James, of course, the great American psychologist. What they said was that the facial expressions actually influence how we feel. You know, we're used to thinking, you know, if we're sad, we frown. If we're happy, we smile. We are not used to thinking about it the other way around. How about if we frown, we're sad? In any event, that's what they hypothesized, and there's a body of research to back that up called the facial feedback hypothesis. So my colleague, Dr. Eric Finzi, a local Maryland dermatologist, and I embarked on a controlled study to paralyze those nasty frown muscles and see if that would make depressed people feel happier. And indeed, in 74 patients, we found that the Botox beats placebo.
That is very interesting. So you're telling me, I guess, from your research, that just by changing the expression on your face can actually change how you feel inside.
Yes, that seems to be a general rule.
Well, you know what's interesting? Because when I'm not smiling, Andrew, you can look at me, my mouth kind of goes down, okay? So I don't like that. So what I've done is I've actually used some filler on the sides of my chin just under where my mouth droops, and it plumps it up a bit, and then I don't look so frowny. So I can totally see that. Now I'm overdue, so I'll just keep smiling.
Well, I know,
Andrew, have you tried Botox before, if you don't mind me asking?
I am very interested in it, but I'm curious to hear what Dr. Norman has to say. So continue, Dr. Norman.
Yeah, no, what I was going to say is that in treating people clinically, because now I've sent several people of mine just clinically for Botox treatment to my colleague, Dr. Finzi, and in treating them, not only does he paralyze, and paralyzes is a really, doesn't sound like a good word, but he stops the action of the corrugator muscles between the eyebrows. Now, they are so called because they crinkle up or corrugate the forehead between the eyebrows. But what he's also done is these muscles that pull the corners of the mouth down, he has put a little bit of Botox there as well to stop the sort of frowning look, because he feels like that might also contribute. So I'm just mentioning this because it may be something to consider either in addition to or instead of the filler.
I have a question regarding the safety of Botox. I live a very holistic lifestyle. I eat natural, organic, non-GMO food. And I'm at the age where I'm considering Botox and considering to do something, because obviously anti-aging is important to me. What would you say, you know, when it comes to, it's botulism, right? And that's what we're injecting into our face. Are there any dangerous side effects to it? Just tell me a little bit about its safety.
Yeah, it's a really important thing, because botulism, of course, produced by the Clostridium botulinum, is known to be a very devastatingly toxic food poison. If you ingest it, if you swallow it, it gets absorbed into the system, and then it blocks all kinds of crucial muscles, which is potentially deadly. What's happening here is that with very tiny needles, the Botox is being injected very locally, to the point that when it's given in this way, it doesn't enter the bloodstream. So
okay.
It's a very, very safe treatment. But I would mention that, you know, I think actors who've used a lot of Botox to try and make their faces look younger have been complaining because oftentimes they need their facial expressions both in order to communicate certain feelings that they are supposed to be having as characters in movies, but also we need to remember that it's the actual facial expressions that help us to feel what we're supposed to be feeling. So there's
right.
a syndrome, for example, called the Mobius syndrome, where people are unable to make a smile or make a frown because of, you know, facial problems, and they are unable to feel emotions in normal ways. They say they can think the feeling, but they can't really feel the feeling.
That's an interesting point. So like anything, too much of something is not good. So
right.
moderation. And in your opinion, what is that threshold of moderation or that's too much?
You know, I think it's as much an art as a science. And I think, you know, just as a psychiatrist or as psychiatrists, we work with our patients to find out, you know, how much antidepressant is the right amount and how much paralyzes their ability to feel ordinary sadness. I remember one patient of mine who was depressed, and I'd given her an antidepressant, and she felt unable to cry at her father's funeral. I was giving her too much antidepressant for her to experience her grief properly. So I think these emotions have a valuable function, and I think we need to be very mindful of the feedback that we get from our patients in terms of just how much is the right amount to give.
Well, Dr. Norman, I'm going to have to get this study and show it to my husband so I can validate why I'm spending money on Botox, right? I mean, I think a lot of women are going to be showing up study in hand saying, look at this. It's going to make me feel, not just look better, but it's going to help me feel better. So where do we find this study, Dr. Norman?
And you can say it, and I'll be much better company for you.
Right, exactly.
The study is actually the official publication date is May 1, which, of course, is around the corner in the Journal of Clinical Psychiatry or the Journal of Psychiatry Research. I can never keep them straight. And it's already available in one form or another online. And
okay.
I've got a blog all about it on my website, which is normanrosenthal.com. You just go to blogs. And the blog tells the story of how I got into it. I said, Botox for depression? You've got to be kidding, because it's got that sort of don't give me that kind of feel to it. And then it references both the link to the study itself and a lovely op-ed piece in the New York Times written not all that long ago about the study. So that's a good resource if you just want an easy access to the study and to the op-ed piece.
Thank you. No, that's very interesting. And we have about 15 seconds left. And one of my questions was, is can we retrain our muscles in our face? Because a lot of those frowns are muscles, right? Are there other methods that we could do other than Botox to train those? And I know that's a big question in 10 seconds to answer. But
yes, you can. When you look in the mirror, smile. Before you leave the house, take a smile in the mirror by the front door and try and carry that around with you. People will like you better, and you will like them better. So, simple 15-second tip.
Love it. Thank you, Dr. Norman, for being on our show. And if you'd like to learn more about him, like Dr. Norman said, you can visit his website at normanrosenthal.com, and you can follow him on Twitter at Dr. Norman. I'm Andrea Donsky, along with Lisa Davis. This is Naturally Savvy Radio on Radio MD. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Your Radio MD and at Naturally Savvy. Thanks for listening, everyone, and stay well.